Hello, and welcome to Reading the Library Book, which is still called Reading the Library Book temporarily until I can come up with another name. Or maybe I just need to have a new name for it on iTunes, but it's definitely not on iTunes anymore. iTunes somehow rejected the podcast, so unfortunately I need to come up with another name to get it on iTunes. So send me your ideas if you have one for the podcast. We are up to chapter 22. And chapter 22 is called Kirzaka. This is Kirzaka. Once the gate was fully open, Eamon steered the boat past it, and we were in. It was darker in this part of the library and lit with warmer lights. Lanterns hung over the shelves, and a candle chandelier hung in the middle. The ceilings were low, and the candles from the chandelier dripped a little too close to us into the water. "It's funny that she didn't mention the gate or the password," I said.
"That is because I gave her call numbers that were on either side of these," said Eamon. "It was my guess that any request for the board's books would trigger an alarm. Keep your eyes peeled for any books that look like board meeting minutes or notes or history of Akita. Anything that looks out of place as well. I am looking for any books that will explain what the board is up to and what they have done so far."
We sailed slowly through the shelves, trying to work out titles in the dim light. Eamon pulled a couple of books off the shelf and piled them into the boat. I saw a funny green volume sticking out, and when we pulled up closer, we could see that it was called The Plans and History of Akita. We pulled it from its shelf and added it to our growing stack. We were about to round the corner when we heard something behind us. We couldn't see anything when we turned to look. Lanterns made the parts that were dark even darker. Then a voice came out of the darkness.
"Say, someone seems to be up to something," it said.
Its voice was as dark and shadowy as the darkness it came from.
"Selim, to you. Just checking out some books," said Eamon cheerfully.
"Just checking out some books," mocked the voice. "Just checking out some books. And yet you seem to be checking out very particular books. Books that all seem to do with the board and the governing principles of Akita. Those are not just some books."
The voice was getting closer, and it was accompanied by the sound of small splashes.
"I suppose not," said Eamon.
"Seems you forgot one," said the voice. "Up there on the top shelf, where most people do not think to look."
"Oh," said Eamon.
"Thanks."
"Somberly, though," said the voice, "I should notify you that the board has given strict instructions of what to do with anyone who comes looking for those books. That is not an official emissary of the board."
"How do you know that we're not official emissaries?" asked Eamon.
"Come now," said the voice.
And it stepped into the circle of light around a lantern, and we could see it for the first time. There was a person standing chest deep in the water. He appeared to be webbed in many places. There was webbing from his head to his shoulders and between his arms and torso. When he held his hand aloft, I could see webbing between his fingers.
"Now," he said as he came ever closer, his hand reaching toward us, You will see what happens to those who come looking for these books.
We couldn't move. We were cornered, and the webbed man was now so close we could smell him. The scent was seaweedy and mossy and moldy, and the smell got even worse when he suddenly caught hold of my arm and started to pull me out of the boat. Eamon caught my other arm, and for a moment I was suspended, pulled between the two of them, unsure if I was going to end up in the water or back on board. The webbed man was winning the tug of war, when suddenly a log seemed to appear out of the water, and it bumped right into the webbed man. It so startled him that he lost his balance and he dropped my arm before falling into the water. He reappeared, in a strange position, stretched out on his side, and he just kept rising further out of the water when it became clear he was lying on that log. Then I saw the log wink, and I realized it was Plato, the crocodile. The webbed man was clearly terrified. He was trying to slide off Plato's nose, but Plato kept him there, no matter which direction he moved. The webbed man looked at us with frantic eyes.
"Is this your beast?"
"No," said Eamon.
"He is just a friend."
"Stop him," said the webbed man, his eyes wide.
"Only if you promise to let us go and give us all the books we came for."
"The board will slay me."
"I am sure the crocodile would be happy to help you with that as well," said Eamon.
"Stop him."
"Give us your assurance that you will let us go about our business."
"There's no way to..."
"Are you truly more afraid of the board than you are of a crocodile that is getting a clearer and clearer idea of how you might taste?" The man whimpered.
"Edinkid, the board must really have scared you."
"Okay, how is this? I am conceiving of a plan. Tell me if you agree. We check out these books, help you escape, and hide you from the board. You help us, we help you."
The webbed man raised his head and looked at Eamon with interest. Then he managed to slide right off the crocodile's nose and upright into the water.
"Are you serious?" he asked.
"Of course," said Eamon. "We will do whatever we can do."
"Well, then," said the webbed man, his tone now entirely different, friendly almost, "let's get you everything you need."
And he started wading back in the direction he'd come from. Plato followed him at a respectful distance. I looked at Eamon with concern. Was he running off to sound some alarm? We heard some splashes and some grunting and some creaking sounds before he came back, a book held aloft. He delivered it right into the boat.
"You were going to want that," he said. "That's a good one. And I'll tell you the truth, this job has been a misery for me. I became a librarian because I wanted to share knowledge, not protect people from it. I wanted to help people read books, not watch them disintegrate and go unread."
He continued talking as he walked among the shelves, pulling down book after book.
"I've been wanting, really, for someone to read all these. I had to do my job to prevent it. But secretly, well, I was hoping someone would manage it."
He returned to us with his stack and laid them in the boat.
"Now, if you'll just give me your library card, I'll check them out to you, and then you'll tell me how you plan to smuggle me out."
Eamon looked troubled.
"I am so sorry. I know this will be hard for all of us, but I think we must take them without checking them out. Checking them out will trigger a security alarm and leave behind a record of our visit, which would not be a good idea. You see, the board is very interested in tracking us down."
"We have to follow some protocol," said the webbed man.
"And if they track us,
They'll track you just as easily, said Aemon.
The webbed man shivered.
But have no fear, said Aemon. I will take special care of these books, and I give you my word that they will be returned to their rightful place when we are done. I know what it means to bend these sort of rules.
The webbed man nodded solemnly, then said,
Well, then, it is highly, highly unusual, but perhaps we just take them now, for now, and find a way to return them when you're done. Or if you just read them all now?
We would be sitting ducks, said Aemon. We have to take them with us. I will log them into my catalogs, which are not connected to the mainframe of any larger library. We will return them. You have my word as a wandering librarian.
You're a wandering librarian? Said the webbed man. Why didn't you say so? Let's go!
Good, said Aemon. As I see it, we have two options. Option one, you could ride out with the library there. Plato clearly knows the way in and out, possibly through the sewers. I think this is the safest option in terms of not being discovered, but it will, of course, depend on how long you can be underwater.
It also depends on that thing not eating me, said the webbed man nervously. I can breathe underwater just fine, but...
The other option, said Aemon, is to smuggle you out in the boat with us. We could put you at our feet, or stand you up behind us and hide you behind a cloak. The real trick will be how to get you out of the boat and out of the library without drawing any attention. It is the riskier choice for that reason.
I hope your crocodile will not be offended, but I would very much prefer to ride in the boat, said the webbed man.
Very well. The other question is the books. How are we? Plato raised his head and snapped his jaws before turning around and showing us his back and tail and the giant backpack that sat there.
Ah, said Aemon. Of course.
I have just the thing, said the webbed man,
and splashed off into the dark before returning with many book-sized plastic bags.
Airtight, he said. Those will keep them safe in the underwater library. That's how we transport here, too.
The three of us began to quickly place the books in the bags and then loaded the bags into the satchels on the crocodile's back. As we worked, we introduced one another and learned that the webbed man's name was Kirzaka. Kirzaka climbed into the boat and curled up in the spot where our feet would go. We climbed in over him and tried out the best place to put our feet that would be comfortable on him and also not draw suspicion. Plato, the crocodile, slipped under the water, and we watched the trail of him disappear into the darkness of the stacks.
So, there you are. That is chapter 22. That was Kirzaka. And my question for you is, did you find Kirzaka scary? And if so, talk to me about the scary feeling and whether you wanted to be scared a little while longer or you were happy to have it resolved as quickly as it was. I'm just curious about what that journey is like for you. How did you feel about him when we first met him? And does the shift, is the timing of it, does it feel good? Does it feel good to have it solved as quickly as it is? Or do you feel like you would like to be scared a little while longer? I'm not sure. So let me know how you feel about that and about him. Or are you still scared of him at the end of this chapter? I'm curious. If you were scared, some probably were not.
But I would love to know what your response to this character was at first and if it changed. So my other question is, other ideas for how to rename the podcast, maybe just for iTunes. I think, though, if I do it through the platform that I'm on, which is Anchor, I may have to change it for all of them. So a good title for the podcast would be good. And also, if you have ideas about the title for the book shifting as well. At the moment, I'm settling on Leandra and the Global Library. That is the front runner. If you have other ideas, let me know. I would love to hear them. So that's chapter 22. Chapter 23 will be in good order. And thank you for your patience as I had a little break there from the previous chapter. I had the other one in reserve while I was away, so I posted it not so long ago. But I know there was a gap between 20 and 21, so thank you for waiting patiently for that. But we're back on track, and we will be having chapters kind of, I'm trying to get them to you a little bit more regularly now that I am back in the world. So chapter 23 will be next. So I'd love your thoughts, responses, ideas, drawings. I want drawings the most, I'll be honest. Drawings would be so awesome, especially of this character, actually. I'd love to see your images of Kirzaka. So the place to send those things, leandralibrary@gmail.com is the email address. You can leave me a voicemail message on the Google voicemail box. It's hard to send, you know, drawings on Google Voice. So if you can do that, I'll be very impressed, but it is not probably possible. So that number is 646-847-8758. Again, that is 646-847-8758. And if you would like, I will put you on the podcast if the recording is such that it would be fun for other people to hear your thoughts. You can also say you don't want to have your voice shared, but it's up to you. If you would like to be featured on the podcast, just leave me a little voicemail message. And that's all. I will see you next time for chapter 23.